This is the fourth message in the series on Raz Pesher, which is Raz's mystery. Pesher is the explanation, the understanding of that mystery. The title of this message is called In Your Light, Do We See Light? All of these messages have shared a verse from Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 4. Yet to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to know, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear. And God is about to reestablish the covenant with all those who are gathered before him in Deuteronomy when he speaks. Moses didn't know he was speaking in Deuteronomy 29:4. And he establishes that covenant with all of Israel, with all the strangers, those from other nations that are with Israel, those who gather in your water and your wood, everybody. And then the Lord says, not only with those who are here, but also those who are not here, after enumerating everybody who's there. And the Jewish understanding of this is that all Jews, from Abraham to Bert, stood at the base of Mount Sinai and heard the words of God speak. Not only those who were there physically, but the soul is far more ancient than this body that it inhabits. And so my soul, the light of my presence, was there at Sinai as well. Yeshua refers to this same verse in Matthew 13 and for the same purpose. He encourages the people, if they will but see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and make shuva, return, repentance, I would heal them. And then he speaks to his disciples. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. The disciples are given a heart to know, eyes to see, and ears to hear. They saw things in a different way. Light. Psalm 36, verse 9 says, with you is a fountain of life, and in your light do we see light. The light of God always reveals what is hidden from the natural light that comes into our eyes. A few weeks ago, I described how I had to train my natural eye to see what was hidden in this world, in order to survive, to find food, to find water, to note where danger lied. That same discipline is necessary if one is going to survive in the spiritual reality. Yeshua, as Elisha before him in 2 Kings chapter 6, if you'll remember, Elisha wasn't worried. His servant was very worried because of the quantity of enemies that were gathered against Israel. Elisha prays for the Lord to open up his eyes. And all of a sudden, he sees what the prophet sees. He sees the hills covered with the armies of God. They didn't just appear. They had always been there. But now he saw in a new light. And he was able to see those armies covering the hills. And all of a sudden, he's not so afraid either. Same thing happened with Hagar, and the Lord opened her eyes, and she saw that spring of water. God heard the prayers of Ishmael, and he opened the eyes of Hagar to see where the water was. The water was always there. She just couldn't see it. I've always been more interested in the world that exists just beyond what I can see, in this world of shadows and reflections. So let's see what we can see today. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Vayomer Elohim yihi or vayihi or. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. The word yihi shares a root with hayah, means essentially the same thing. To be, as an exist. For something to exist, to be. So God said, light exist, and light existed. Interestingly enough, God's four-letter name, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, comes from the very same root, to be. Now, the light that exists at this point is not created. God, who is light, illuminates the darkness. Before God was love, before God was anything, he was light. Now, Isaiah 45, verse 7 is a rather controversial kind of portion of Scripture, many discussions. In Isaiah 45, verse 7, the Lord says, I form, yotzir, light, and I create, bara, darkness. To form something, it has to already exist. I can take a piece of clay, and I can mold it into a shape. But the clay already existed. To create something is to take something that does not exist and bring it into existence. It's a completely different thing. So God is light, and in him there is no darkness, John chapter 1, verse 5. So how does God create darkness? How does he even know what darkness is? He creates darkness the same way darkness is always created, by removing light. Darkness is not a thing. It is the lack of a thing. You create darkness by removing light. This is the basis for the Jewish understanding of creation and how it came into being. Before this physical creation universe came into being, all that existed was God. And we have absolutely no understanding of what existed before this physical creation. It's completely ambiguous. All there was God. And he filled everything. And so there was no room for the physical creation. The rabbis give the example of a glass of water that is filled to the very top. There's absolutely no room to put into that glass anything at all. Anything you put in, water has to come out. So God withdrew his presence. The word tzimtzum, which describes this Jewish understanding of creation, tzum is to limit. It's also the word for fast. You limit the food that can come in, or you remove it. God limits his presence in a certain area. I don't even know how to describe it. We have no words for this. He withdraws his presence to create space into which he's going to place the physical creation. Now, God is a God of order. God's presence filled everything, and God is light. So when he pulls his presence back, what is left? The order becomes confusion, since that which has filled everything is now removed. We have a void, and since light, God is light, when his presence is removed, we have darkness, confusion, void, and darkness. God withdraws, there's darkness, no light. Then he reintroduces himself into that space, and there's nothing but light, no darkness. The Lord actually has to separate the light from the darkness. He makes a mechitza, a barrier, between light and dark, and then proclaims Yom Echad, day one. It was nothing but light. God withdraws, there's absolute darkness. He comes back in, there's light. And then he separates, makes a barrier between the light and dark. So what is this Or Rishon, this first light? It's obviously different from the light of the sun, which was created on the fourth day. The light of the sun is part of creation, and it illuminates this physical reality. Its light travels in a straight line from a source and reflects off of objects that we can see. It both reveals and hides. The portion of the earth that faces the sun is bathed in the light of the sun, and it's revealed. The backside is cast in shadows, darkness. It's hidden. Interestingly enough, we cannot see light. We can't see light. We can see the source of the light, and we can see light reflected off of other objects, but we cannot see the light itself. For instance, I'm in a dark room, I turn on a flashlight. I can see the flashlight. I can see the objects that that light reflects off of, but I cannot see the beam that connects the flashlight to the objects unless I introduce some dust or a little squirt bottle of water, then I can see the beam. Why? Because the light reflects off of those small particles, and then all of a sudden I can see a beam. I can see the edges, and I can see that which connects the two. I see this in Hollywood all the time. The thief wants to steal the jewel, and the jewel is protected by lasers that go everywhere. And you look in the room, and there's nothing. And all of a sudden, they introduce some smoke or some mist, and you can see all the red lasers all over the place. You don't have to go to Hollywood. You just have to go out east. When there's a new moon, you look up into the night sky, and it is black. It is absolutely black. It's empty, except it's filled with light. You just can't see it. It appears black, but the night sky is filled with light. How do I know? If you stare up in the sky out by my house, you will see numerous satellites. They come up over the horizon, and they are booking across the sky. They're doing 17,000 miles an hour. They're in low orbit. And you can see this little pinpoint of light travel straight across the sky. Is there a beam of light illuminating only that? No. That object is dropped into a space that appears black, but is actually filled with light. The science behind it is pretty simple. Light is going away from you. You can't see it. When you put something in it, it reflects back to your eye, and now you can see it. The light before the sun is different. It's not the same nature. The light before the sun shines round about surrounding objects. It completely illuminates the darkness that preceded it. The darkness was saturated by light. And that light itself could be seen. Psalm 36. In your light, we see light. Utterly different than the light of the sun. God appears to man often, and he does so in Anani or Ananai HaKavod, clouds of glory, these luminescent clouds. Once again, out by me, there's a number of these weather phenomenons, and the most spectacular by far is the thunderstorm. The day starts out in the morning, the sun comes up, and there's not a cloud in the sky. By mid-morning, there's these little wisps, feathery wisps of white in the sky. By early afternoon, they're beginning to coagulate, and they start to form these large, cottony looking cumulus clouds. And these things grow and they get immense. They can cover hundreds of square miles. And they're in constant motion. They're growing. It looks like an explosion. They're rising at hundreds of feet per second, sometimes thousands. And you can watch these things explode. And by late afternoon, all these white cotton balls turn black. And I live in the rain shadow of Pikes Peak, and I can watch these clouds come in from the southwest where my weather comes in the summertime. And it hits Pikes Peak, and it like the waters, it separates, these clouds separate, and they go to the east and the west of me. And if you look out to the east, you're sitting in sunshine and you are looking at a wall of black, black as night sometimes, depending on the severity of the storm. And all this motion forms causes static, and the discharge we call lightning. And sometimes the lightning goes from the cloud to the ground, sometimes from the ground to the cloud. Sometimes, pretty spectacular, the lightning goes across the clouds, goes horizontal. But the most fascinating type of lightning to me is the lightning that takes place inside this cloud. You can't see it. And a lightning charge will go off inside the cloud, and it can last sometimes 3, maybe 4 seconds. And it starts to scatter, and it goes all around the cloud. And what looked like a wall of black, all of a sudden, you realize is a bunch of individual clouds, and this lightning has just illuminated this cloud. It is now a cloud of light. The cloud itself becomes light. This is how the cloud of glory appeared over Sinai. It's also how the cloud of glory appeared over Ohel Moed, the tent of the meeting in the wilderness. During the day, it appeared as a column of smoke because the light of the sun obscured. At night, it appeared like this cloud of light, this luminescent cloud. Now, I liken this, I use the words a luminescent pool to describe this. When Moses entered into the cloud, he was immersed in a pool of light. It completely surrounded him. It permeated the space that he was in. It bathed everything in Orishon, the first light, the light of God. The first light that illuminated this physical creation, this heavens and this earth, shall also illuminate the new heavens and the new earth. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God illuminates it. The light of God illuminates that place. Revelation 22, verse 5 is even more specific. And there will be no more night. And they will not have need of the light of the lamp nor the light of the sun, because God will illuminate them. Night is utterly eliminated at this point. What we will exist in is that time when God re-enters the darkness that existed when he withdrew his presence and he comes back in. Before the mechitza, before the barrier that he set up to separate light and dark, when there was nothing but light, there will be no more night. What is being described here is a time when we will return before God said Yom Echad, first day. What existed before the first day. These verses fulfill what the prophet Isaiah spoke about in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19. No longer will you have the sun for the light by day, nor brightness, nor for brightness will the moon give you light, but you will have the Lord as an everlasting light. So Revelation 21 and 22 gives us the fulfillment of what the prophet spoke was coming. Now, my people believe that Isaiah is speaking of the Messiah. And they connect it with Orishon, the first light. And they say Mashiach will bring with him Orishon, the first light. Not the light of the sun, but the divine light, the light of God. And he will reintroduce it into this world. The light of the sun is life to this body. Ur Rishon, that first light, is life to the soul of a man. John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, and Psalm 36, verse 9, both connect the words life and light. The psalmist says, with you is a fountain of life, and in your light do we see light. And John chapter 1, verse 4, 5 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. In verse 9, he says, there was a true light which coming into the world illuminates every man. The Ur Rishon was what the shepherds saw when the angel of the Lord appeared to them suddenly. Luke chapter 2, verse 9. And the angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory or the light of the Lord shone round about them. They were immersed. This angel of the Lord appears, and the light of God is all about him. And the shepherds are immersed within this pool of light. When John says that Yeshua is the light of the world, this speaks volumes to Jewish people. The Midrash on Genesis 1 tells us specifically that the Ur Rishon, the first light, is Ur Mashiach, the light of Messiah. And then when Messiah comes, that light, this world will be exposed to that light. It is the light that the nations wait for. It is the light that is hidden in Olam Hazeh. And over the course of the last few messages, I've mentioned Olam Hazeh. Olam comes from a root which means to hide. What is being hidden? Ur Rishon, the first light that was there before the sun. Consequently, our sages call this first light that is hidden Ur HaGanuz, the light that is hidden. In this world, the light that gives life to the soul, hard to see, darkness or evil, cannot comprehend it, cannot know, it cannot perceive it. It is the light by which we see God in this world. I see God everywhere, everywhere. Out on me, I look up into the heavens, and God is there, Adonai Shema, God is there. In springtime, the wildflowers come up, and I look at them little flowers, and they're so delicate, and they're so beautiful. Adonai Shema. My son came out of my wife. Adonai Shema. God was there. Others don't see. They see only by the light of the sun. They don't see Ur Rishon. They don't see God. They see that child as a sack of tissue. They see the heavens as a coincidence, a flower and the intricacies of that flower as merely a coincidence. What is the difference between us? I see things in a different light. We even have a saying about it, don't we? It's proverbial. We see things in a different light. As mentioned earlier, we cannot see physical light. This is fundamentally different than the first light. As in John 1 and Psalm 36, 9, both light and life is connected. Psalm 36, 9 says, Ki imcha mikor chayim, for with you is a fountain of life. It's a fountain head, actually. It's like a bubbling source of life. Bu'urcha nira ur. And in your light, we see light. We can see God's light itself. It's not just that it illuminates other things. We can see the light. It appears everywhere, enlightening, illuminating everything. when Moses and the and the elders, I'm pretty sure that's what Moses said when he went up the, you know, the boy was old by that point. Yeah, he went up the mountain and went, ugh. Sorry, I've been holding that in for 5 minutes. I went down like a lump last night. When Moses and the elders ascended the mountain, what appeared to them was a floor that appeared as transparent sapphire, on which sat the throne of God, Exodus chapter 24. It was not the light of the sun that illuminated that ethereal place. It was Orishon, the first light, the light of God. And they were able to see that light, and it illuminated this heavenly place, a place that couldn't be seen without that light, couldn't be seen by the light of the sun. The first light reveals the spiritual reality that is hidden from this natural eye. There are many more things that are going on right now in this space than we can see. Now, God wants to return to us lev leda'at, a heart that knows, a heart that perceives. We call that discernment, but that's what it means. A heart that knows, a heart that perceives. The ability to see Urishon, this first light, the light of God that reveals truth. To Jews, every single word in the scriptures and every single letter has a meaning. There is nothing placed there. There is no coincidences. Everything has a purpose. The word da'at is spelled dalet, ein, tav. The letter ein is also the word for eye in Hebrew. An eye that sees this hidden light. The ayin is in the middle of the word da'at. It is an eye that looks from the center of a thing out rather than looking from the outside in. It sees the heart of the matter, not just the appearance. That's discernment. To know what's really going on. That's what happened with Solomon and the child. He received da'at, knowledge. He saw the heart of the matter, not just the appearance. To survive in the world, I had to train this eye to see more of what the natural light revealed. When I began my spiritual sojourn, I needed to start to train my eyes to see a completely different light, to train my ears to hear the sound of the voice of the one who walks on the wind, not just the sound of the wind. It carries on it. In Genesis, in chapter 3, it talks about how when God came to Adam and Chava after the sin, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking on the wind of the day. It doesn't say the cool of the day. It says walking on the wind of the day. It was a voice that was carried on that they could hear. It behooved me on this spiritual journey to develop a heart that can perceive that which cannot be seen with these eyes. Sometimes we call it a sixth sense. Sometimes we call it listening to your gut. That's God giving us wisdom about what is around us. And those skills are found in Torah. Those who see Torah, and I was raised in this, from the time I was a child. There were many then, there are many today, who see Torah simply as a list of do's and don'ts. And to see it this way is to do Torah, God's word, a disservice. Torah is far more than a set of instructions on how to think and how to behave. That's part of it. But it is far away from what its true nature is. Torah is not only a revelation of God. It's a revelation of me, of you. Torah reveals Yehi Dov, to be, how to be, Bert. Dov is my Hebrew name. Torah reveals how I can be me, what I am, and what I'm supposed to be. I was created Yehi Tzelem Elohim, to be the image of God. Before God was love, he was light. Tzelem Elohim, the image of God, is that luminescent breath that was breathed into me, my soul. This earthen vessel of flesh obscures the light that exists within me. Sin is like a soot on the glass. It hinders how the light can shine. The word instructs me how to make this flesh more translucent and eventually transparent, to allow the light that is within me to shine forth round about, to illuminate, to penetrate, to saturate the darkness that surrounds me. The essence of Torah is teaching me how to let my light shine. The light that is contained within me, how does that shine forth? Torah instructs me how to do that. When Yeshua appeared as a man, his flesh concealed his true appearance. We got a glimpse of the true countenance, the true appearance of Yeshua on the Mount of Transfiguration, when all of a sudden, the man of flesh started to become light. And he began to shine like the sun in its brightness. In John, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, John is made privy to how Yeshua looks in eternity. And his face shone like the sun in its brightness. I don't know if you were as stupid as I was when you were a child, but we had the game, stare at the sun. And the object was to see who was stupid enough to stare at it the longest. I always won. It's a gift. But when you stare at the sun, that light, to stare at the sun and its brightness, the light consumes everything. There is nothing else. And that's the light of a creation, the Orishon. You know, this famous midrash on a rabbi who comes across a heathen, he says, show me your God. And he says, look at the sun. I don't want to see the sun. I want to see your God. He says, look at the sun. He looks up, and he can't stare at the sun. And he goes, it's too bright. And the rabbi says, if you can't stare at the sun which he created, how can you stare at Urishon, the first light, the light of God, which is far more brilliant than that which he created. We're told, when John saw Yeshua in Revelation, he saw light. Yeshua is light. And eventually, this is how we shall appear as well. So say the scriptures. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, we are the children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, for we will see him just as he is. John saw him just as he is, light, and we will appear the same way, luminescent. John saw Yeshua not in the form of a man covered in this flesh, but as light itself. And that light is life to all those who behold it. Brethren, the word of God is transfiguring us into children of light. That's exactly what Paul is speaking about in 1 Thessalonians. You are children of light. Don't walk in the darkness. Walk in the light. If we could only see with such an eye, how glorious would each of us appear? We would no longer see these flesh sacks that hold the glory, but we would see the light of one another, the very image of God in which we were created, these vessels, these which are a machitza, a barrier between one another, would disappear. And we would be truly one. The light would mingle. I have loved many people in my life, and just desperately. And I don't speak of this as the world speaks. I have been in love with many people in this room. And they are the ones whom God has opened my eyes to. He's given me the ability to see the light of their souls. And as the psalmist says in Psalm 16, I've beheld them as Adirai, the majestic ones, the ones who shine. And the psalmist says, I delight not only in you, God, but I also delight in the Adirai, these majestic ones in whom my soul delights. And I have taken such joy when I come across somebody and my light and theirs mingles and our hearts are knit together and we're in love. I'm going to close it out with one more aspect of this light. The curtain before the Holy of Holies was called Shar HaShamayim, the gate of heaven. Jacob called it that back in Genesis. And was always in his dream about the ladder. It was always called the Parochet, the curtain that sat before the ark, like the curtain we have here, the gate of heaven. It separated heaven and earth. Man was on one side, gazing upon it, wondering what was on the other, and God says, I am enthroned between the wings of the Cheruvim, right on the other side of Shar HaShamayim, the gate of heaven. When Yeshua died, that barrier, that mechitza, that gate of heaven was torn open. And the Mekor Chaim, the fountain of life, erupted. And it flowed forth from the Holy of Holies. And that light filled the holy place and the court of Israel. And it cascaded down the 15 steps and filled and flooded the court of the women. And it blew open the doors of the temple. And it bathed the court of the nations in Ur Rishon, in that first light. A light and a life that will eventually fill this entire world. It is the light that all men seek. It is the light that illuminates the ancient and the good path. Psalm 24 and Psalm 27 have always been my favorite psalms because it contains the command. You said, Lord, seek your face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. They became my favorite psalms when I first digested the words of Moses. Moses is standing before God. What do you want? Let me see your face. The majority of my life has been a quest to behold the face of God. Now, we tend to think of God's light as something separate from him, something that emanates from him, like the sun, and the light that emanates from the sun. Perhaps that's true. But the Word of God says God is light. He is the light itself. When I read his word every morning, I pray that the words will reveal Urishon. For when I behold that first light, I see the face of the one who is light. Father, in Yeshua's name, we give praise, honor, and glory to you. And I thank you, Father, that you have sent your Son to reveal once again the light that is the life of man, that we might bask in that glorious light, be saturated by it, immersed in it, be transformed by it into children of light. Teach us more, Lord God, through your word, how to let that light shine in this world, that others might see it and be drawn to it and declare Yeshua Hu Adon, Jesus, he is Lord. In Yeshua's precious and holy name, amen.